All right, hour two, Mail It In Friday. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We got a big hour coming up here. Ray will call in just a moment.
Some we have legitimate to ask Ray Hazy. Talk. We have to ask Ray how he got the name Pee-wee, because there's only two people I've ever heard call him Pee-wee. It's Kevin Dineen and Joel Quenneville. Like, it's like they're the only ones allowed.
I kind of feel like those are the two that were kind of outgoing in the dressing room. Maybe Q and Dineen sat beside each other and just sat and chirped the room type of thing.
But if you're not those two guys, like anybody tried to call Ray Pee-wee, he would scratch your eyes out.
That would be my assumption, is that it's not a name he's overly fond of, but he's okay with it because those are two of his good buddies. Like he and Kevin Dineen came up together, right? They were in the minors together, rookies together. Like they're very, very close. So I'm sure he's cool with that. I'm sure he's got a name for Dineen, probably got a name for Quenneville as well. But if some rookie walked into the room in Atlanta and started calling him that, I'm not sure it goes over well.
No. When I was at Kevin Stanley Cup party, Q was there and we were talking. He was like, "How's Pee-wee?" I was like, "What?" Like, who's Pee-wee? Like, you're not allowed to call him Pee-wee. No one calls him Pee-wee except those two.
Yeah, everyone calls him Chicken Parm. Like, Ron Francis called him Chicken Parm in the last hour. And John Buccigross, I think, is a guy who is committed to that from ESPN, and he and Ray are close.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's how it started, that Ray was eating, like, Chicken Parm every night at ESPN when he was an analyst. And he was doing, like, in-studio work and just every single day. And same thing with Wade Boggs. Like, Wade Boggs, his name on Twitter and his nickname around the sporting world is the Chicken Man, because he eats, like, exclusively chicken. He doesn't eat steak. He doesn't eat pork.
It should be Coors Light, isn't it?
That should
be the greatest sign ever invented on college game day. When that guy held up the sign and said, "I saw Wade Boggs drink 109 Coors Lights from Boston to New York on a flight."
You're right.
And he gets called out and asked, and he said, "Yeah, I did."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, he tries to dodge it, but he's like, "Yeah, you know, it was a long trip, and we had to make a stop." Yeah. And then you got to remember, we're taking buses. Like, he tries to justify it.
No, I know. He's like, "I had 10 in the room after the game, and then 10 on the bus ride, and then I had 25 on the flight. Then I had 15 more from the bus to the hotel." And he's like, "I had 100 beers, so I did."
But you got to remember, cross-country flight, time zones. Yeah. It's like, dude, you had 109 beers. Like, I don't care if you're going to the moon and back. That's ridiculous. Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I'm thinking about Wade Boggs. You know, he had a cookbook, right, that he sold, all the chicken recipes, apparently, that he used to eat?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, when he was with the Red Sox. And then the 109 beers thing, like, what was he keeping, bottle caps?
It must have been.
Cans.
Someone must have been. I'll bet you this is what happened. There was a guy on the team that said, "The next time we fly to L.A., I am watching him exclusively." Because
we all know the one guy that, like, light beer, they can hammer 50 of them and not feel anything.
I've done it before, guys. I counted beers of a teammate at a year-end party because, just for fun, a couple of us were like, "How many do you think this guy's going to take down?" And we were over 40. Like, he had no problem putting 40 down.
Man.
40.
Like, that's like more than a case of, like, you put a case of beer on ice, that should, like, provide entertainment for you and three buddies. But that's taking down.
The best thing about those guys, let's say you're jumping on another flight the next day and he goes, "Grab me a water at the store," and you buy him a 1 liter water. He goes, "1 liter? What are you doing? Like, I need like 350 tops." Like, he could, how could he possibly consume a liter of water?
I know someone in the industry, Brian, that there was a situation in the dressing room where someone in the media, and we're not going to talk out of school here and name names, but came in the dressing room and went in the fridge and just hammered back a Diet Coke. And then when he was done, like, he guzzled it, he looked at the can and said, "Oh, my God, that's a Coors Light."
I know exactly who you're talking about, and I love it.
Yeah,
it's the greatest.
Like, he would always come
ever
in the room and grab a Diet Coke, and he just hammered it back, and he looked at it, and he's like, "Oh, my God, that's a Coors Light." And it's like, you knew it was the Coors Light. You knew.
Yeah. Yeah. When that thing touched your lips, you knew it was, but you knew yeah. you couldn't stop.
So anyone else would say, oh, my God, I don't need that right now at this time of day. But he just guzzled the thing and looked at it and said, oh, no, that's not a Diet Coke. That's a Coors Light.
It's so good.
Legend.
I love
yeah.
it.
No, that's true. You count. You start counting. It's such an idiotic thing to do.
But didn't you do that when you were like, I don't know, later teens or whatever? Like
yeah.
You'd be
yeah.
at your bush party and you're like, someone would go, how many beers have you had? And you dig into your pocket and go, six. Because yeah. you had like six ripped off tabs from the can.
Right. Like it meant
something.
At least
something. That's what we used to do anyway, or six bottle caps from Kokanee beer, which was the beer out here in the Kootenays.
Yeah.
In BC. And you'd be like, six. But of course, you'd probably taken two from somebody else because you really only had four, but it was cooler to say six.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and in Alberta, if you drank a bottle of Silk Tassel, which is, I don't even know if they make that whiskey anymore.
I've never heard of that.
I had long
what
enough
is it
hair.
Called, Noodle?
Silk Tassel, and it came with like a tassel around it. And I had long enough hair. If you finished the bottle, you put your hair in a ponytail with a tassel. And let you. It's a badge of honor that you've just destroyed a bottle of whiskey.
It's like used underwear.
That's
what I
picture. That just reeks of a bar fight, drinking Silk Tassel. Like just
yeah,
punch
it
someone
is.
In the face.
I think it was $7 a bottle or something. Something ridiculous.
God.
You know what I mean? Like it was just, like you could run a rocket ship on it too. Like it wasn't like legitimate. Like I don't even know if it's around anymore, but it was Silk Tassel.
Gas.
Yeah, it's
there's
basically
nothing better than witnessing it. I've witnessed it recently with the COVID stuff. Like lining up. I saw it a couple weeks ago. Some like 12 people deep. 20 minutes to get in there. Some guy beelines it right for a Mickey, like the worst whiskey on earth, and checks out, and he's gone.
And it's you know that fires into the coffee mug, into the car, and he is gone.
That's not
immediately. Waiting in line for like a $7 Mickey of whiskey. Just had to have it. Had to have
gritty.
It.
Just gritty. Yeah, just gritty.
Yeah.
I'm looking online. I still think Silk Tassel's alive and well. It's in a plastic bottle.
Yeah,
no way.
It's whiskey in a plastic bottle.
Can that bottle hold the Silk Tassel?
I don't know. Burn right
through
it.
Or does it eat away at it?
They're
Ray,
all about
we
the
have to ask you, we've had a couple of Hartford Whalers on this show today. Who is the one, and we're not, like, we don't ever call you Pee-wee, but which guy on that team gave you that nickname?
Oh, Joel Quenville.
Yeah. That's
what
Ron
you said,
Francis.
Hey, Pee-wee, one day, and then...
If Joel called you something, he would say it relentlessly until it stuck. And it was, hey, Pee-wee, how's it going, Pee-wee? What's up, Pee-wee? Hey, where are you going, Pee-wee? You going to dinner, Pee-wee? And pretty soon you're like, you're calling yourself Pee-wee.
I know, but how come Pee-wee? Like, what did he just say? Like,
short,
you were
tiny. Oh, wait, you're a Pee-wee. You're a little Pee-wee. Yeah.
So what did everyone call him?
I would have punched him right in the face and be like, don't call me that.
Look at Joel. How could you do that? How could you even think that? He would have Dean Evason and I, well, not he, but I always used to say I was way taller than Dean. And I'm not sure that I am, but I think I am. And so they'd always do these things because I'd get so PO'd. And they'd make us, you know, they'd measure us and they'd go, no, Dean's a quarter inch taller. And I'd get so mad. But I don't even know if it's true or not.
Well,
the other question is, why the hell did so many guys on that team, like, did you guys say to each other, let's grow mustaches and, like, let's have a thick mustache? Like, you guys all had mustaches.
Look at the style on that. That was solid. Right?
It was great.
Come on.
It has to
be. Obviously, Ray, I'm not a mustache guy, but looking back on it, like, you guys must have said, like, this is cool, let's do this. And you were all in, like literally everyone, except Ronnie and Kevin.
Yeah, well, because neither of them could grow one.
Right.
I'm sure they couldn't. Now, Dave Babich comes to our team. So Babs is like, you know, he's the missing link, right?
Harry, the hairiest man in the league.
And so one day he shaves his mustache off. Like, it was, when you see something so absurd, it was like Babs with no mustache. And he walked in just like, you know, to make an entrance. And we were, like, dying on the floor. And he's like, okay, that's it. I'm growing it back. It's like he had it grown back by noon the next day.
Right. Just immediate.
But when he shaved it off, it was like, it was like he painted his skin green. Like, you couldn't even imagine it. But there were like, there were some pretty good stashes on that team. Dave Tippett had a really, when Tippy shaved his off when he was coaching, it was like, oh my God, it's like half his face disappeared.
Well, that it just becomes a part of you. Like, if you're a mustache guy, like, we joke about the tab man, Jim Taddy. He is,
I don't
quite
think he could do it, Brian.
Quite literally had that stash for like 45 years.
But it would look awkward too. Like, you would see his upper lip for the first time. Like, and what if it doesn't look right? Like, what if it's discolored or something because it hasn't seen daylight in 50 years? You know
what
I mean?
Opposite of smoking.
Exactly.
I think just for sport, Pat should shave it off just one time.
I feel bad for the guy that has the stash and he has the dark, like the smoked look on it, and it's like yellow. Yeah, he ate Cheetos and rubbed his chin all morning.
It's yellow.
Oh yeah,
it's got to be a blonde stash or goatee, pretty much. But if it is. Yeah, you're right. If he's been chewing on, like, Des Mauriers for 30 years, it's just permanently. Like, and I would assume he gave it a shot at one point and been like, I'm going to try to get rid of this. But even the new hairs come back with the cigarette.
So you're saying you think that guy shaved and then it came back that color?
Yes, without smoking. He could quit today and it would still be there 20 years.
Yeah, just a dark black haircut and he grows a yellow mustache.
Just in the roots. It's never leaving. All right, so do we all do our homework? Like, I'm sure none of us actually did.
I did.
Okay.
I've got a list here. I'm ready
all
to roll.
Did. Okay, so yesterday we brought up the idea of doing, looking back on the NHL awards. We're going to basically announce the award winners, according to us. And, Ray, you did your homework. You're all good?
Yep, I just had to check to see if I still had the list. Yeah, I got
it. Okay, so why don't we begin with, I feel like this would be a sweep, but let's begin with the Hart Trophy. We'll start with the big boy, and then we'll work down from there.
Let's just go around the horn, Hayes. It's around the horn.
All right, quickly.
Yeah, we all got him. Draisaitl.
I got Draisaitl.
I have Draisaitl.
Yeah, Draisaitl, Panarin, Pastrnak, MacKinnon for me. So
yeah. I didn't even go past one, so I didn't complete my homework.
The assignment, Hayes.
Right. But Draisaitl, I think when McDavid went out and he elevated his game, that secured it for me. Like, it was over at that point. He had such a great year.
I think he had a great year. This is, you know, and you could take it a step further, Brian. We were talking about the matchups coming back. Like, and even yesterday we talked about it. There is no guarantee that Leon Draisaitl, when the Oilers come back, he's having that Hart season. Like, you expect it out of him. You expect it because he's so talented. But he was having the type of season where, you know, he was dominating physically. Everything, he was touching was the right play. Like, to me, he learned to play away from the puck. But there's no guarantee that he's going to hit the ground running. Like, I expect him to. But, you know, that's the type of scenario where he's had a flat-out Hart season. I thought there was a time where he was the best player. McDavid's a video game. But I thought Draisaitl was the best player available on the ice.
Yep. Okay, so we're all in agreement on that. The Norris, the best defenseman. Ray, who do you have for Norris?
I think we're around the horn again. John Carlson, no?
I don't.
Nope. I got Josi.
I got Josi as well.
Yeah, I hedged my – I had Josi down, but then I went back to Carlson. I'm going to say Carlson. I think Carlson's been a fantastic player, and I know a lot of his points come on, especially, you know, setting Ovi up on that power play at the top of the umbrella. But I think Carlson's one of those guys who's been a really effective player. This is almost, and maybe I'm part of the guilty here, like the lifetime achievement, and I think Josi deserves that too. Like, Yossi's been a perennial, or should have been a perennial finalist, but always overlooked because there's somebody else had a better season, all of that.
Well,
I think Carlson falls into that.
Jamie and Ray, you guys both vote on these awards. Me and Brian don't. But how much do you think, like, somebody posts that article that says, this guy should be talked about in the Norris. Like, how much does that feed the animal where people are like, oh, well, maybe we do have to consider this guy? I think it's a big factor.
I think it depends on the guy.
Right.
Like, on the voter. Like, I try and take in as much information as I can to, you know, like I make my picks and then I kind of go backwards from my picks and I change a lot. Like I move guys around and I generally don't have a guy come from ninth place to win an award. Like I might move somebody from third to second or maybe from second to first if I do a little research. For me, the difference like to that stuff, oh, like this, some of the articles is like with Carlson, he had such a crazy start to the year.
Yeah.
Like he had 40 points, like it seemed like immediately. Yossi's leading their team in scoring, and I just felt he was like he was the best D this year. But these are there's a couple awards. I don't know what you guys think. Like if it's one guy or the other, I'm kind of okay with both. But for me, I voted for Yossi.
Yeah, I agree. This is a coin flip. Like this could go either way. And I don't think there'll be outrage. But I also look at the players that they have to play with, where Washington is clearly more talented. And that's not, you know, Carlson's fault, but it benefits him, where Yossi, for him to lead his team in points, and they're a playoff team now, I think that was significant as well. If they were going to miss the playoffs, which they might have, if they wrapped up the 82-game season, it might have hurt
right.
Yossi. But based on these standards, they're in, and they're likely playing Arizona.
The last comment they're going to make on Yossi is I think P.K. Subban going there for, I don't know, what was it, three seasons? I think that took some rust off of Yossi's legacy where it's like it took a little bit of attention away and he got, like, spotlight minutes. And I just think that he would have really been the guy for, like, those two or three years. He was, like, in his prime, and that could have really been a good time for him, and P.K. was there.
You're right. Oh, but also the fact that they traded P.K. away – like and there was not even like a question like around the league talking to guys in Nashville talking to guys who played there like there were
he was so always many the
times.
Guy anyway.
Roman Yossi was the best defenseman on that team even when P.K. Subban was coming
that's
up.
That's why I
north.
Brought it up, Jamie.
That's
because
the point.
I'm like that's it's like this guy was there's so many people that every time P.K. Subban like walks out of a restaurant, it's like oh he's the greatest defenseman of all time. It's like Yossi's been there the whole time. You talk to anybody there, they're like this. Yossi is he's the guy.
Okay, but you know what? Like along those lines, like Yossi brings, you know, has almost no flair to his game. He's just great everywhere. In my mind, it's a little bit like Victor Hedman without the size.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Hedman's awesome, but there's no flair to the game. So we notice and public notices more the flair because when Subban was there, he put together a couple of fantastic years.
Oh, yeah. And they went to that cup final. He was great that year.
So that defense has been so good for so long, and I think you probably get swept up as just being one of the best defensemen on the best defense in the league. But this year, for me, he kind of jumped away because there was nobody else in that group with him on his own team.
Okay, yeah. How about the Vezina? Noodles, you start. Who do you have for the Vezina?
Hellebuck. I think
Hellebuck too.
Yeah, Hellebuck, I think, was the hands down. I think Vasilevsky started to turn it on and was pushing him, but
that's
my
guy, Vasilevsky. I had to get away from the normal pick because I know you guys were all going to say Hellebuck, but Vasilevsky.
That's not a bad pick. I think Vasilevsky would probably be the runner up. So yeah. I mean,
you know. I'll admit that knowing that 12 teams are in the playoffs, it almost allows me to be like, yeah, I'll go Hellebuck because. I don't know if he would win. As stupid as it is, we have the same conversation every year. If you miss the playoffs, should you be up for an award?
Right.
I wish they would just establish that, yes, everyone should be included. That's how I would approach it. But I understand why people don't. Like, I understand why the heart is tough to hand out to a guy on a team that didn't make the playoffs. I get that.
Right.
But with Yossi as an example, Nashville's in, so I think he gets it. Winnipeg, they're in based on this circumstance. They might have got there anyway. But that leads me to say Hellebuck. I mean, his stats
Hellebuck
would indicate that too, but
he should win this for danger pay.
Yeah.
And that guy, he got pelted all year. He had an amazing year.
Yeah, he did. I think they got their act together by the end of the season. Some of the players had stabilized, but early on when they were still trying, when Lucas Spezza like was a guy they were like really like relying on, that's when Hellebuck was making his money.
The Calder, Rookie of the Year. Ray, who do you have?
I have Makar and Hughes in a dead heat, and I change my mind almost weekly on this whenever I think about it. I'm going to pick Hughes.
I'm going to pick Hughes, too. I just thought he's a dominant player as a rookie defenseman.
Man, oh, I go back and forth on these two. Like, they're both – I think they'll both win a Norris by the time's all said and done. But
agreed.
I'm just – I'm going to pick Hughes just by, like, a hair.
I had McCarr. I mean, McCarr – if McCarr got injured, he got injured. So if you go in points per game, he actually had more. And I'm not just looking at the stats, but, like – there were times where, I mean, McKinnon is such a beast. There were times where I thought McCarr was the best player on the ice in watching Colorado, and I watched them a lot this year. Like, that guy is an absolute machine, and he's not shy to get involved physically. He's got a bomb from the point, wants to lead the rush. Like, he wants the puck. Yeah. Can you imagine when this guy...
The only reason I took Hughes over him is because I know McCarr has that flash and dash, but I think Quinn Hughes, his best asset is... And if you're not like a hockey person, you might not pick up on it, but he controls the pace of play just by having the puck in his movement and his edges. And when he gets that puck in the neutral zone, it's like, it's all depending on what I do here. It's like Lidstrom. It's just like, I got it. I'm going to control it, and I'm going to control the pace of play. And to have the ability to do that is special.
Oh, they're both special. There's no arguing. Like, Ray's right. Like, I think it's a coin flip, legitimately. Like, it's a coin flip. But I just, before that injury for McCarr, like, he was as good as anybody on the back
so
end.
So good. He was getting some Norris talk.
Well, that's what I'm talking.
Like, at least nominated, anyway.
Yeah,
not to win it.
Would you
say,
Case?
With Hughes. I went with Hughes as well. I think the McCarr injury, this again, is something that I shouldn't use against McCarr, but he got a taste of the NHL last year. And Quinn Hughes, it took him about 10 games to get going. But once he did, he's their number one guy. And McCarr is as well in Colorado. But I think Vancouver is a weaker team than Colorado, not substantially. But for Quinn Hughes to play the minutes that he plays, to control the game the way he does, it's a coin flip, though. It really is. I would lean Quinn Hughes. But as you said, Ray, I might change my mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, so what else do we have here? What about the Jack Adams, Coach of the Year? Jack Adams.
I chose Dave Tippett.
Tippett in Edmonton. Nice.
I mean, that's a team that needed structure, right? Especially, you know, you had injuries, inconsistencies. This is a guy who started, you know, moving players around, trying to find matchups. And, you know, I think he protects his goaltenders. He's getting what he can out of those players. He's, you know, he hasn't been shy to kind of be vocal about top players and them not playing well. Like, Edmonton was really fortunate to have him help stabilize. Him and Jimmy Playfair helped stabilize that situation. I thought they had a fantastic year.
They did. Their special teams were unreal.
I had Mike Sullivan. Yeah. I thought they had a bunch of injuries, and he just kind of – I thought it was just a great coaching job, Mike Sullivan, for me.
Yeah, you're right.
I picked Torts. They have no players.
Another good pick, man.
Great call.
That's a great pick. Great pick.
They had no goalies. They had
no players.
Totally disarray, and they have over 80 points. Yeah, like, they were going to have a 90-point season, and I'm like, remember at the end there, they're playing without Seth Jones. Atkinson had been hurt a whole bunch of the year. I think they were down 5 regulars and one of the goalies. I forget which one got hurt at the end. And I just thought Torts did an amazing job this year.
Torts is one I hadn't thought of him. Like, I forgot him. I don't know why, but you're right. You made a great case for him. The fact that, like, Panarin leaves, Bobrovsky leaves, everyone turns their back on that organization.
Duchesne leaves.
But injuries, too. Injuries, too.
They were
like
on third-string goalies at some point, and they're in. They were probably going to get in legitimately. Maybe they were just going to miss, but they really might have been a top-8 team. I'm going to go – it's a bit greasy here, and just because I picked them in the preseason, so I'm going to stick with them. I'm going to Lane Vigneault in Philly.
Good pick.
That's the turnaround that usually wins the award, right? Barry Trotz in New York. We've seen it before with guys who show up. Now, Dave Tippett's an example out west. First year in Edmonton, team that was in disarray. And turned it around and added structure. But you've got...
You look at that Vigneault's record, Brian. Like, wherever he goes, he's got to close the deal and win one, but he wins, man.
Like, he turns teams around.
Yeah.
It's like Peter Laviolette, Alain Vigneault, Bruce Boudreau does it. You know, there's a handful of guys. Yeah, they just win right off the bat. They get there and they win. So, yeah, We're all on. That's weird. We all have four different guys. I guess that's actually that surprising. The coach of the year is always you can come at it any different because you could make a case for Bruce Cassidy in Boston and say, what about me? Yep. First overall, how about the coaching job I'm doing?
And given, I think there are legitimately five or six candidates this year, and that wouldn't be a bad pick. Like that's really, you know, when you're looking at it, you know, Jared Bednar, like why in Colorado?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, there's a half dozen that you wouldn't have a problem with.
Even John Cooper, I think he just gets overlooked because it's like, oh, you got such a good team. You're supposed to win those games. You still got to coach the team.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to – it's almost hard to win if your team is too good. You know, like you guys brought up Cassidy.
Exactly.
And it's like you can almost go, yeah, but they've got 100 points 3 years in a row or whatever it is. And you're like
– so what?
Yeah, but that's – he's still coaching it. Like he's done a hell of a job. He's clearly one of the best coaches in the league.
Yep. Yeah, clearly. You got to keep him on the rails. You got to keep them motivated and pushing forward, and he does it. All right, buddy, have a great weekend. We'll do it again Monday at 5.
Okay, talk to you then, boys. Have a good weekend. Hayes, keep hitting them straight. Some pretty good video there.
Oh, kid. How about that? Like, break down the swing quickly. 10-second breakdown. Quality, right?
200 is not even in the game.
Thank you. You were fine.
Outside of that left-handed putting thing, you were fine.
Out of time, buddy. We're out of time. We got to go.
All right, 5-second review. Thanks, Ray.
See you, buddy.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at mapletoyota.com. That's great news out of our friends from Maple Toyota. We've got Jason the Jet Terry coming up. We're going to catch up with him in about 5 minutes. We've got Doug Ellen, the creator, producer, director of Entourage in the 6 p.m. hour, and Mark LaForest, Trees himself, in the 6 p.m. hour as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jason Terry going to call in here in just a moment. I'm watching the video that the Grappler posted on our Twitter account and our Instagram account of me out playing golf this morning. And I don't know why I allowed him or myself to shoot a video where I missed the putt. Like, it's a whole, like, Rocky theme. Like, I'm building up the courage to go out there and play the National, and I'm getting better and better and better. And the drive was pretty good. The chips are pretty good. But I sent him a video where I actually missed the putt.
I like that, though. You know why?
By the way, Hayes, do you want a tip?
It's legit, right, Noodles? It's
exactly.
Legit.
It's legit. Because if it showed...
Excuse me. Can I talk, please? Brian, do you want a tip, Hayes?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I think either your clubs are you need longer golf clubs.
I know I'm slouched over. That's my
you're a tall guy and it's like you're slouched over. You need longer golf clubs.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm getting concerned about your swing. Like you actually have not a bad move. Like it's not bad.
Well, yeah, I know.
200 is not on the
table. We've played together,
and I know. But the problem is you cheat. So that's where the problem lies. Like you fluff and you.
I guess you're right about that. I mean, I've been prone to fluffing and, you know, reloading brekkie balls, maybe a mullee on the front.
And by the way, that putt there, like it was 1 inch from the cup. I think you can pick that one up and put it in your pocket. Like you can.
Well,
take
I hope so. But for you, you said putt everything out.
Okay.
So that was for you, man. That was done so you don't think I'm just pick. Because if I did pick it up, you'd be like, oh, here we go. You would have 3-jerked that or blah, blah, blah.
4.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe at the National with tough greens. Anyway, we got a guy on the line who doesn't care about my short game, my golf game, what I'm going to shoot at the National.
Not at all.
Not even in the least. You can find him on Twitter, on Instagram, at JasonTerry31, longtime NBAer, NBA champ with the Dallas Mavericks. Here he is, Jason the Jet Terry. Jason, what's happening, buddy?
How you doing? I actually do care about your short game and those little flip wedges.
Oh, yeah. Jason, you tell us. Did you ever play with a guy that would just say, you know what, give me a 5 and whatever, and be in his pocket and like?
Hey man, I got my eyes on all those guys. I always watch them, and I'm a decent golfer. I'm not really. I couldn't even tell you my handicap, but I'm competitive. I like to play. I like to win. But there are guys you got to keep an eye on them now.
Thank you very much.
Bracers on the scorecards, yes sir.
Okay.
All right, well, I've been labeled one of those guys you're supposed to watch out for.
You're not labeled, Brian. It's actually the truth. I saw you do it, so it's not like I'm not making it up.
All right, Mr. Integrity over there. I love that. Okay. Well, anyway, what was your situation during your playing career? Would you ever bring your clubs on the road if you knew there was a great course somewhere?
100%. I mean, after about my 6th year in the league, Darrell Armstrong, savvy vet, got me into golfing, and he would take me almost every road trip, I would say, and we would pack our clubs if the weather permitted, especially if you went to, like, Phoenix or L.A., weather was always good, and we would pack our clubs, and we'd get around there.
I find, like, it amazing with NBA players, and I'm sure it's like any celebrity, any big athlete, but if you roll into town and there's a private club that you really want to play, chances are you can get on there, right? Like, you're going to find a connection. If you land in L.A. and you want to play at the L.A. Country Club, let's say, and you're like, it's Jason Terry, I'm coming over, I'm teeing off at 8:30, chances are you're going to be able to work that out, right?
Listen, once you get drafted into NBA, they give you this card. Your card says, I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy that can get you on anywhere or anytime. So I whip that card out from time to time.
I like it. What about Mark Cuban? I feel like he'd be cool with that as an owner. Like, did he ever challenge any of the players on anything they were doing on the road, during their practice, you know, anything? What was Cuban like to be around?
No, Cuban was the ultimate professional. He understood, you know, guys in their spare time are going to be grown men. He would always hold you accountable, though. He always told you nothing good happens after 2. You know, there's no curfew, but there is. So if you get caught after 2 and you get in trouble, then we'll have to hold you accountable. But if you're out after 2 and you're good and you have a great game the next day, no problem. And usually he'd be with us on those days or nights as well. So, no, you love Mark. I mean, he's hands-on. He's very passionate about the game. And he's the type of owner that every guy, NBA player, would love to play for.
What did you make of The Last Dance? Everyone's kind of talking about it. And MJ, you just talked about 2 in the morning. Nothing happens good after that. He had the one comment where you're like, I knocked on the door and there, I don't know, what did he say, Brian? There was like beers and drugs and girls.
Yeah,
there's
a lot going on back there. Yeah.
And he was like, he was like, I didn't want to deal with that, so I left. Like, what do you make of kind of talking out of school and maybe out of school, but just the whole comments and everything involved in that documentary?
Well, I have no problem with it. I mean, it goes on all the time. I mean, not only in professional sports, rock stars. I mean, guys that travel around in the entertainment business, I mean, you live a certain lifestyle, and you're going to be prone to see some of that stuff from time to time, but you got to have strong will and, you know, pick and choose your battles. And for me, I would never implement or say a guy's name, right? That's the code that we kind of live by, is you don't implement, say, a guy's name. Now, he did say the whole team, who that was. He never pointed a finger at any guy, so then you just have to have your own assumptions on who those guys were. But cocaine and drugs and alcohol, cigarette smoking was very prevalent in the 80s until David Stern came on in and cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, Stern definitely did. He stepped in and
how, though? What did he do? Like, he said, like, this is not allowed anymore?
Well, no, he implemented a strict Stern drug testing policy. And I think, you know, when I came into the league, it even got stricter. I mean, we get tested 4 times a year, and that was stringent. I mean, when I first came in my rookie year, it was once at training camp, and then you kind of free will to do whatever you wanted. But there was 4 drug tests after that collective bargaining agreement, and that kind of kept you in check. I mean, it was random, and you never knew, you know, when these guys would pop up with the gloves and the urine sample bottles.
Do you think they picked, like, hand-picked guys where they're like, I'm going to get on this guy a little bit more, or it was just 4 times and you dealt with that?
Well, I think it was random, and it wasn't biased at all, but I will tell you this. If you came in smelling, you know, like you drank a whole fifth, or your eyes were always red, and, you know, you had that look about yourself, you may get a knock on the door.
Yeah. 2 of the 4 guys in this chat had that look a lot. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing wrong with that look, unless you're trying to win an NBA championship. I see that.
We're chatting with Jason Terry, longtime NBA champ with Dallas. And you can check out his website, jasonterry31.com, and find him on Twitter and Instagram, the same handle, @jasonterry31. Speaking of MJ, I mean, for whatever reason, whenever – well, I know the reason because we're all guilty of it. We're all in the content game and the debate game and all that. LeBron James gets dragged into it. And over the past 5 weeks, it's been like, all right, this is going to make LeBron look better or LeBron look worse, or this is going to solidify that Jordan's the GOAT. You're kind of a, you're a crossover. You know both of them. You've played against both of them. But Jordan is who he is. We all know that. But where do you stand on LeBron James and his status as an all-time great player?
LeBron's definitely in the top 10 all-time great players that ever played this game. The one thing that you cannot deny about LeBron is, you know, one, he's a champion. And two, I mean, you look at his physique and how he's built. There's no other guy that played the game at that position that has dominated the game for as long as he's done it. The longevity of how long he's been on top as the number one player in the world is what makes him an all-time great. I think he's still cementing his legacy. Before I can move him into my top five. But as it is stands right now, he's definitely top 10. I mean,
what more can he do, though?
He's not in your top five right now?
Yeah, what more can he do to get into a top five?
Well, he has to end his career and retire. I mean, you can't put a guy in the Hall of Fame while he's still playing. So that would be one. I don't think Jordan was – I think in 98 we might have started saying Jordan was the greatest of all time. But we really didn't cement it until he was like, okay, I'm through. Then he comes back again. I mean, that was crazy. But I think LeBron has to retire first. I mean, and complete his body of work. Because right now, what is he at? Three championships, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I always go to the championships first. I mean, you got Jordan. He never lost in the NBA Finals. He has six championships, six MVP Finals championships. I mean, it's just hard to deny him the greatest of all time. But then you got guys like Magic. Magic has five. Kareem has, what does he have, five or six?
Yeah, six, I think.
So Kobe has five.
Six. Kobe's and, got yeah. five, yeah.
Kobe has five. Like, those four guys there, and you throw in Bill Russell for me, and that's my top five. I mean, it's just hard to take those guys out. Another guy told me, say, Will Chamberlain. I mean, it's hard to not have Wilt. The guy averaged 50 points and 20 rebounds.
Right. Right.
Well, who does that? I don't care who he's playing against. Small guys, 5 feet and under, 7 footers. I mean, 50 points in anything, wreck ball anywhere, is hard to average. Like, that's tough. You got to be an all-time great. So
he did some other stuff that was hard to average as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my goodness. That's what I'm saying. He's averaging 50 while he's doing the other stuff.
Right. He's putting up numbers that nobody's seen.
He put up numbers.
All across the board.
Well, we're chatting with Jason Terry, and you were on the Dallas team when you beat Miami. You know, Miami went to four straight finals, and you guys got them the first time, and you beat them. And I don't remember who was favored in that. I'm sure LeBron and D-Wade and the Heat because of the hatred. Yeah. And
Dallas was not favored in that series, no way.
So take us back there, Jason. Like when you got them, when you beat them. What was that feeling like, not only winning a title, but doing it against a team in Miami who had sucked up so much oxygen ever since LeBron made the decision to go there?
Well, it was very emotional, I will tell you that right now. Not only for myself, Dirk Nowitzki, Mark Cuban, the entire city of Dallas, because 5 years previous, we had faced that same franchise in the finals, and Dwayne Wade and Shaq, and you know, we smoked off a 2-0 lead. And so for us finally getting back to that point, we just realized, like, we don't care who's in those uniforms, LeBron, whoever, it does not matter. This is our time. This time doesn't come around often. We have to take advantage of it. And then finally we end up winning, and it just lifted a huge, huge burden off the shoulders of myself, Dirk, and the entire Maverick organization, because you finally realize your ultimate goal. And I understood how long it took, you know, to put a team together to be able to compete again for a championship, and we finally got it done.
Well, Jason, we really appreciate you finding time for us again. JasonTerry31.com. My understanding is you got some stuff cooking here in the future that we should be looking out for. And we'll do that with the website, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine. And we wish you nothing but success and safety, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
No doubt about it. Have a good one. Quit foot wedging them balls up there on the green, man.
He can't stop himself. He can't stop himself.
It's a bodily function. I'm not trying to do it.
Okay.
It just happens.
Y'all stay safe.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for this.
Thanks.
Jason Terry. Jason the Jet Terry. One of the great handles, too, the Jet. It's always a great nickname. I love that story. It's like once you get to the NBA, you always know a guy that knows a guy that a guy.
Dude, because everyone's the show. That's why they call it the show. It's like you fly somewhere, you just call someone and say, hey, who knows this guy or that guy? And it's like it just happens. Like that's why it's called the show.
Well, yeah, like there was a story out of England recently, Gary Lineker, who was a soccer player over there. I guess when Jordan was over there, he was there with like Samuel L. Jackson and a couple of other guys, and they wanted to play at some course, like somewhere in London. And Gary's like, all right, I got the call, so I'm bringing him out. And we brought him out. And it's like, it is land, and they're like, this is where we want to play, like that course. We want to play here. We're here for 24 hours. We need to play in the next hour. It's like, yeah, we'll get you out there.
Yeah,
find a way to make that work.
It's a good guy factory. You just got to – somebody calls you up and say, hey, I got a couple buddies that are – yeah. In Carolina or Calgary that want to go to a game, you're like, okay, I'll hook it up. Because then you call those guys in the summer and say, hey, I'm in your town in Phoenix. I need to golf. You want to hook that up? Yeah, I got that. Or
yeah, it's kind of a network.
Yeah, it's a good guy factory is what it is. Yeah. And Hayes, you are not in it right now.
Well, when I break 200, I better be.
Yeah, I think you will crack it. I'm looking at that swing over and over again.
It's a good swing. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like I want to circle back and adjust. Like it's a good swing. Like,
well, you can't adjust now. You said 200, and there's Frankie Corrado and Tucker and all these guys that have weighed in. We got a bet on
Frankie
it, just
Corrado.
Like
that guy is super horny to watch this, isn't he? Like he's
he's gonna have to be in the
Peter
mix,
Holland wants in on that too. Everyone wants to televise now.
Well, I didn't know Peter Holland wants in on it.
Oh, he's super horny as well. Like, they want to watch you slash and hack and
I love
do
it.
Your thing.
I love it.
That's how desperate people are for sports. They want to see me just slash it around a great course right now.
Well, let's be honest. You're a celebrity now. In the last 5 years, you've done your thing, and you're the guy now, and they want to see you do it. And I want you to do it, too.
What does my celebrity status have to do with embarrassing myself at a golf course?
Dude, your celebrity status is you're the best sports host in North America in sports radio. That's a good little handle.
Well, I'll take that for – okay, I'll shoot over 200 if you keep plugging me as that title. I'll do it.
Let me ask you,
something.
You don't think you are that guy?
I don't know, man. Who makes that – who comes up with that list?
Ranking.
Me.
Well, we'll make a ranking, but I believe Canada for sure. But
North America.
Noodles isn't going into the States. In no way. And I'm not
that I'm not going there. It's just that they're like, would Howard Stern be in that mix?
Well, not for sports.
No, he doesn't do sports. I'm talking about a sports host for a talk show. He's the best in North America.
Yeah, you're right there. Right there. Dan Patrick could probably be right there.
He might have a conversation.
No, you're better than him.
He might be one.
And I hate even saying that to you, but your golf game is garbage, but you're the best at what you do.
Thank you.
He is good. Very
good. Thank you. Thank you for the boost of confidence. I appreciate that. I don't need it because I played so well this morning. It's all good.
You didn't.
And the golf course was it was calling my name. I was one with the universe earlier this morning playing 18 for the first time this year. We got Mark LaForce coming up. Trees. Someone brought up a great fight between him and Sean Burke back at the Gardens.
Oh, Burkey?
Yeah, Sean Burkey
was
and
jacked,
Trees.
Too. Like, he was a big dude.
We got to get into that detail. Someone said he was at the Gardens when that fight broke out. It was like a full line brawl in Trees. Just went at it with Sean Burke. So we'll get the details on that. And Doug Ellen coming up, the creator of Entourage. Like, what is Hollywood doing right now in the COVID-19 era?
Not much, buddy.
Keep focusing on sports, exactly. Like, what's up with Hollywood? We'll get you that answer. And more coming up with Doug. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Hazy, I got to give you credit. You're a chicken parm guy, and I finally convinced Bruno at Grazzi. They finally put it on the menu. I'm like, why don't you have chicken parm? Like, you're an Italian restaurant. Like,
it's a must-have.
Yes.
It's a must-have. Yeah. Shout out to Bruno. That's a good call.
Yeah, shout out to Bruno. Give him lots of love. It just, He better be careful with the sauce. Not too much sauce. There's too many.
No, I like a heavy sauce. I like a heavy sauce.
You start drowning the chicken in the sauce, and what happens is people start to flap the cheese back and pull the sauce off.
No, because I don't want the dry chicken though. Right, I want too. Like I want a lot of red sauce.
You want soup. You want a soup with some chicken and some cheese.
AZ, you like a soup?
I'm in the middle somewhere. I like a dousing.
You agree with me? Do you feel that sometimes the
no.
The restaurants get a little overzealous.
Well, here's what I will say, Noodles. Where it is, you cannot have too much sauce is when it's a chicken parm sandy. Because if it starts leaking on you, it's everywhere. It's all over your shirt.
But if it's just chicken parm on a plate, you got to go heavy sauce.
You can get saucy on a plate, but it can't be saucy in a bun. It can't be.
No, like you're right.
It's crushing, man. I'm a guy. I used to eat chicken parms driving. Like I couldn't wait 10 minutes to get
what?
Home. Oh, yeah.
You'd pick up like three of them, too, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'd have my whole evening planned out. Parms every 45 minutes.
How could you not wait till you got home? You had to have it on the way home?
I can't explain it to you, man. It's a disgusting habit, and it was a craving that was it had to be met. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.